All right, very good. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 13. And you follow along as I read this from the Word of God, beginning in verse number 13 of Luke chapter 24. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted, now notice this statement, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And I want you to notice what they said in verse number 21 this morning, where these two disciples walking on the road said, We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And I want to speak to you for a few moments on the subject, mistrust, be gone. Mistrust, be gone. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you now control the transmission of this message. What am I hearing? That's the wind noise. I pray, God, that you'll make it so that we can be able to transmit the message without any interruption. Speak to our hearts in spite of all the distractions that we're having to deal with this morning. May your word go forth in clarity, and I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. I'm going to turn this way and hopefully try to block the wind a little bit. Those of you up here are going to get a full frontal view, and over here you won't get as much, and we'll have to move the camera and pick it up a little bit. Folks, it's a part of human nature to experience a degree of mistrust at some time or another. For instance, a person puts a degree of trust in someone. They have confidence in that person. They believe that when they speak, they tell the truth. They have confidence in that person's character. They have confidence in their morals, their values, and so forth, okay? When the humanity of that person is revealed, the one who trusted in them is shaken. They're disappointed, possibly. Maybe even to a point, disgusted. You know, you see, the person that they were trusting, now they have questions. They're asking questions about that person's veracity, their truthfulness. They got their questions of whether or not their trust in them was valid. They're thinking to themselves, I made a mistake. I mistrusted that individual. And my confidence in them was misplaced. Now, that experience has more than likely happened to all of us at one time or another because we deal with humanity. I believe it happened in this text, but really it happened for no valid reason. Now let me give you the setting. Two people, very possibly husband and wife, experienced a degree of mistrust, only to find out later that they had been right all along. Now you remember that Jesus had been crucified and laid in Joseph's tomb. Some of his followers had gone to the tomb to put some spices outside of the grave. To their shock, the stone was rolled away and the body of Jesus was gone. The angels gave them the good news that Jesus had risen from the dead. The ladies departed, and look what they did in verses number 9 and 10 of the chapter. The Bible says, They returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. We find out who it was in verse number 10, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Now look at verse number 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tails. Now think of that. They're speaking to the 11. The 11, for a moment, had some mistrust. And the words that these ladies were speaking sounded as idle tales. Let me say emphatically this morning that Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose again from the tomb. And that is no idle tale. That is the truth, all right? But you have them here, see it. Then verse number 12, Peter and John, they run to the sepulcher to see if the body of Jesus had indeed been taken. And then you got these two people, again, probably husband and wife, walking on the road to Emmaus. These were followers of Christ. These were two who had believed. These were two who trusted that He was the Messiah. These were two who had hoped in Him, who had confidence in Jesus Christ. And now they'd had their confidence shaken. Now they were not so convinced that Jesus indeed was the Redeemer of Israel. Now you're familiar with the story. In verse number 15, Jesus joined them as they walked down the road. He pulls up beside them and He begins to talk to the two of them. And there's a long conversation. Then you get down to verse number 28. The couple drew nigh to where the couple lived, or maybe a fork in the road. And Jesus makes like He's going to keep going. And in verse number 29, they say, "Man, come home with us and abide with us tonight. The day is far spent." And so Jesus went to their house. And then in verses 30 and 31, as He took the bread and broke it and blessed it and gave thanks, their eyes were opened and they knew Him, and Jesus vanished out of their sight. You know what they had to feel in their hearts, don't you? Oh, the blessed assurance that Jesus was the Redeemer, that He was the Savior, and that He was alive. And like that, with the snap of a finger, all of their mistrust, all of their shaken confidence vanished, and their faith was restored. Now, I want to tell you this morning, there are some lessons about their mistrust that are found in this passage. And I think we need to learn from them, and here's why. We may not admit it publicly, and we may not even call it mistrust. But there are people who question, or at the least, they have their confidence in Christ shaken in times of uncertainty. They think things like, you know what, if Jesus really is who He says He is, why is all this happening to me? Why is all this happening to our country? You know, this current situation we're in is a first for all of us. But I know that others have been in individual circumstances that have seemed so unfair and so heavy and so unexplainable. And those type things can create a question, a subtle doubt in the heart, a subtle doubt in the mind. Maybe a moment of, we trusted that it had been He. Exactly what these two disciples said. Now, what can we learn so we can avoid those moments of mistrust? What can we learn from them so that mistrust can be gone? Well, first of all, I want to point this out. Mistrust breeds on reasoning. Now, stay with me. Mistrust breeds on reasoning. The Bible says in verse number 15, "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned." People, it would be bad enough for one person to experience mistrust. But when you have two of them, and they're both inclined to doubt, and they both have their confidence shaken, and they begin to reason together in their human thinking, reasoning based on their doubt, reasoning based on their shaken confidence. Let me tell you something. That kind of company just causes mistrust and shaken confidence to multiply. And mistrust grows exponentially. Now let me talk to you for a minute, kind of transparently. You know, there are many who have a degree of mistrust in some who are leading us through this current COVID-19 situation. I probably am one of them. You know, you hear things from one party and then you hear things from somebody else. You begin to wonder who's telling you the truth and who's not telling you the truth, and are the statistics accurate? Are the models accurate? Have we based our response off of communist China? Have we? And you begin to question. You know, so I got that going on in my heart. And then I get with somebody else who's having the same feelings. I get with somebody else who has the same level of mistrust. And you know what happens to my distrust, my mistrust? It just explodes. And I know theirs does too. Because when you get two people together who are shaken in their confidence in someone, shaken in their confidence in their leadership, and they begin to talk with each other, it quadruples. It explodes, okay? And I'm not saying that's all wrong, and I'm not saying that all of our leadership is wrong. I'm using that this morning as an example to prove to us that mistrust breeds on reasoning. It breeds on shaken confidence. It breeds when two people get together. Look, mistrusting the people who are leading us through COVID-19 is one thing. But mistrusting God, having our confidence in something, having our confidence in God shaken, having our doubts about God's truthfulness is something altogether different. And if you start to have feelings of mistrust about God or Jesus Christ, you know, you better get around someone who's just the opposite. You better get around somebody whose confidence in Christ is not shaken, whose faith is strong. Listen, misery loves company, and so does mistrust. Be careful what you're reading on the internet. Be careful what you're letting your eyes and your ears to hear, your eyes to see and your ears to hear, okay? They were sad, the Bible says in verse number 17. So you got sad communicating with sad, and sadness is exploding, and grief is exploding, and mistrust is growing because it breeds on reasoning. So they're reasoning together, and their mistrust is exploding. We believed, we trusted that it had been He. We were convinced that He was the Redeemer. We hoped that He was the Redeemer. And now we're just not so sure. Mistrust breeds on reasoning. Can I say number two this morning that mistrust breeds when you walk by sight? Mistrust breeds when you walk by sight. Now in chapter 24, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says in verse 16 that their eyes were holden. Their eyes were holden. They couldn't see clearly. In verse number 24, they talked about how that some of the ladies went to the sepulcher and they saw Him not. Now people, look this. Jesus was walking right beside them, but they didn't recognize Him. He's right beside them. This is not a fairy tale. This is reality. He's right there. But they were looking through eyes of doubt. They were looking through eyes of mistrust. They were looking through eyes of sorrow. They were looking through eyes of questions. They could not see Him clearly. Then they said that the people who went to the tomb, they said it was empty, but nobody saw Him. So because they could not see Jesus, they were filled with doubt. They were filled with mistrust. Their confidence was shaken. We trusted that it had been He. And folks, God's people cannot walk through life by sight. Our confidence, our assurance, our trust is not based on what we see with our eyes. There are times when all we can see with our eyes does not make any sense. There's no reason to what we see. And believe it or not, Jesus is right smack dab in the middle of our circumstances, in the middle of our situation, but we cannot behold Him. And because we cannot see Him, we doubt Him. And I'm saying to our church members this morning and anybody else who's listening in, child of God, listen, just because you find yourself so, you know, grieved by circumstances that are beyond your understanding, it does not mean that Jesus is not there. He is standing in the midst of those circumstances. You maybe can't see Him. Just because you can't see Him, you start to doubt or question His truthfulness. Be careful that you don't lose confidence just because you cannot see Him. Sometimes sorrow, grief, saddening, through those type things, our eyes are clouded and we can't see clearly. You know, I was thinking about some of our missionaries that have gone through such trying circumstances in past years. I was thinking about Josh and Joy Wesson this week, and how that in 2015, there's Josh, a missionary, and has taken those people out to the ocean, the teenage boys, to have an activity there with Brother Ben Jordan, who we support as well. And there the riptide begins to wash the bodies of those teenage boys out to where it's dangerous. And Josh goes out and rescues one, and then he goes out and rescues another. And I think he rescued three, maybe rescued four, and one boy left. And when he goes after that last boy, his strength is depleted. And the fear that boy experiences, that he's drowning, and the two of them, there they are, they drown in the ocean there outside the Dominican Republic. And I don't know, I'm not saying that Joy Wesson ever doubted God, but I'm saying that there is a circumstance where through sorrow and grief, if you're just walking by sight, challenged by that. You might be, induced to having your confidence shaken. I think about that. I think about the Wesco family. And how was it? Wasn't long ago that there was Charles and his wife and their family over there in Cameroon. And there he is in the car with his wife and one of his boys. And he's shot in the head and murdered, trying to serve the Lord. And telling the gospel of Christ in Cameroon. And you have to wonder, I haven't talked to Mrs. Wesco personally, but you have to wonder if it was possible for doubt to overwhelm her and grief and sorrow, if all she did was try to look at the situation with the sight that she has humanly. I'm just saying that mistrust breeds when we walk by sight. It breeds on human reasoning, and it breeds when we walk by sight. But let me say last of all this morning, here's the good part. Mistrust, number three, mistrust is banished by the Word of God. The Word of God is what sends mistrust on its way. You look there at the passage in verse number 25. The Bible says, He said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Look at verse number 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them, look at this, in all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. And verse number 32, after they realized it was Jesus, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Who's He talking about when He says in verse number, what's He talking about verse number 27? When He said He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures and the things concerning Himself. He began at the prophets. At Moses, that would be Genesis, through Deuteronomy, and the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, the Old Testament Scriptures. And he told them of the Word of God, and the Word of God, the Word of God, and the Word of God caused all their doubt, and the Word of God caused all their confusion, and the Word of God caused all their uncertainty and all their mistrust to be banished, and their faith was restored. Because of what God said. Because of what was written. And the truth of the matter is, Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. When he said, we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't live in this world as people of God by what we can see with our natural eyes. We live in this world. Through uncertain times, we live in this world in stormy circumstances. We live in this world through COVID-19 based on what God has said, based on what has been written. Paul lived this. He lived it back in Acts chapter 27. He was in that boat. And as it was traveling on the sea there, the great storm Euroclydon arose. And they were scared for their lives. The sailors were literally scared for their lives. And you remember what happened. Paul came up from the hold of that ship, and he told those sailors, "Be of good cheer." And here's what he said. "An angel of the Lord told me that this and this was going to happen, that we're going to have our lives saved. We're going to lose the ship, but our lives are not going to be lost." And he said, "I believe God." Now, people, he could not see that with his natural eyes. All he could see is the storm, the rain. He could see the results of the wind, the waves crashing. That's what he could see. But what God had told him took precedent over what he could see with his eyes. And I want to tell you this morning, as the people of God, we cannot go through this circumstance based on what we're seeing with our natural eyes. We have to go through this based on what we know about our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, from what we've learned that is written in the Word of God. The Word of God banishes our mistrust. The Bible builds our faith and banishes our mistrust. So people, here's my message this morning. Don't let the uncertainty of what you can see in the midst of all this current storm, don't let it breed mistrust in your heart. Be careful who you talk to. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful if anybody begins to question whether, well, why would God allow this? And why did God do this? And why is God... No. Don't get around somebody like that. You get around people whose confidence in God is not shaken. You get around people whose confidence in God is on a solid rock. And then listen, be careful. Be careful that you don't walk by sight. Don't let everything you see and hear by way of this world shake your confidence and shake your faith in God. This is the time for you and me to saturate ourselves in this old book right here. This is the time for me and you to saturate ourselves with God's written word. What are the promises of God? Hey, listen, God doesn't pull any punches with us. God tells us in His word that in the last days there's going to be perilous times. Are we living in a perilous time now? Is this one of those times that God talks about? What I'm saying, look, I'm saying it's not all roses. It's not all sunshine, okay? There are tough things said in God's Word about the last days. This is no time for us to lose our faith in God. No time for us to lose our confidence in God. No time for us to lose our trust in who God is and what God is doing and what God has said. And okay, look, we don't want to bury our heads in the sand. But at the same time, we got to be careful about, here's these two disciples walking on this rose. On this road together, we trusted that it had been. Can you listen to what they're saying? They're saying their trust and their confidence was past tense. Past tense. We had trusted. We had confidence. We had hope. But it's gone. Oh, brother, may our hope not be gone. May our trust not be gone. May our faith not be gone. Jesus came out of that grave just like He said He would. And what He says in this Word is going to come to pass no matter what anybody believes. No matter if you believe it or I believe it. And I want to say this morning, yes, God bless you. I appreciate it. I want to say this morning in closing to any that might be listening by way of Facebook Live or just tuned in today somehow to the broadcast even later on. There are still people today who they're uncertain about their salvation. And I want to tell you something, friend. Listen, it's not that you can't believe. It's that you won't believe. And I beg you today to listen to the message of the Scriptures. The Scriptures tell us that there's only one way to heaven. There's only been one way to heaven throughout all eternity, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through all of time. It is through His death, His burial, His resurrection, what we're celebrating this weekend. It is through His finished work on the cross and in the tomb that you and I can have eternal life in heaven. And I would beg you today, if you're not saved, what are you waiting for? Why are you holding off? Why do you continue in your doubt? Why do you continue in your mistrust? Come to Christ, trusting Him fully, alone, plus nothing, minus nothing, and receive the gift of God, which is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And church members and those of you who are saved, Those of us gathered here this morning, those listening and watching by way of Facebook Live, my gracious sakes, let's not be like the two walking on the road to Emmaus. Let's not walk around with a long face saying, well, we trusted that it had been He. No. He is who He said He is. And He's going to do what He said He's going to do. I got a book here. It's written full of the promises of God. And I'm just going to mistrust, be gone. Mistrust, be gone. And the way it's gone is by this blessed old book right here. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come before You this morning. And Lord, I just pray that through all the stumbling and the message, and it was not the easiest thing to preach out here in this new environment. But Lord, I pray through all the stumbling of my words and twisting of my tongue, I pray that Your Spirit was able to transmit a message of hope and confidence and faith to Your people this morning. Lord, this is not the day for us to walk around talking about our faith being in the past tense. This is the day for us to walk around talking and believing and letting other people know and sharing with each other. We may not understand what's happening, but we're not walking by sight. We're walking by faith. We're trusting You. We're keeping our hope in this book right here. Our confidence is not shaken this morning. No, sir. Our faith is not shaken this morning. It might be shaken in some of our leadership, but it's not shaken in You. And God, I pray that You'll build the faith of Your people during these days. And Father, I pray, if there's anybody listening by way this morning of the transmission of the service who's not saved, oh, God, draw that person close to Christ. Please draw them close to Christ. Now, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And if Naomi can hear me, I'm going to ask her to start playing softly on the piano. And where you're there in your vehicle or you're there at home. Why don't you just bow your head together as husband and wife or the person that you're sitting with as a family? Well, I would just tell God, folks, I would just tell Him, God, we trust You. And God, we believe You. God, we have faith in You. These are uncertain days. But God, we're not going to talk about our trust being in the past. We're not going to talk about our confidence and our faith past tense. No. We have trust and faith and confidence in You today. Not based on what we see, but based on what is written. Based on what the Word says. God, I hope that You will touch the hearts of Your people. God, build their faith this morning. I know some are hurting. Lord, some are going through deep valleys that I think some of us aren't even aware of. God, some are going through deep valleys that aren't associated with COVID-19, associated with other heartaches. And I pray, God, that You'll build their confidence and build their faith, build their trust in You in these times. Then, dear Father, if anybody's listening who's not saved, would You please help them this morning? Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Before I say amen, let me just say to those of you who may not know that you're saved, would you please call the church? Would you please maybe talk to your neighbor? Would you please talk to somebody who can show you from the Bible what it means to trust Christ and be saved? Father, thank You for the time we've enjoyed this morning. I pray that You'll bless our day. Thank You for Resurrection Sunday. Thank You that Jesus lives. Thank You that Your Word is true. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, give me your attention here just a moment before Luke leads us in our closing song. Now, don't forget 5 o'clock this afternoon. We will have the service, and we'll be doing that by way of Facebook Live. And, of course, you can also call in to the call line if you don't get Facebook Live. I won't go over all the opportunities of the week. You know what those are by now. Here's something that's been asked. Revival Fires. Yes, we are planning to live stream Revival Fires from our auditorium. We're planning to live stream all 12 services. We have some preachers coming who weren't on the schedule. And many of the, I think 7 of the preachers who were on the schedule are coming. And so we're going to live stream that starting next Monday night. So tell people about it. And if you can join us, 7 o'clock next Monday night, 2 messages, then 3 messages Tuesday and Wednesday morning, and then 2 messages every night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And we will be live streaming that. I believe it's time for God's... I think, folks, we could use some preaching. I think we need the Word of God right now. A lot of stuff going on. It'll be time to focus on the Bible and God's Word. So we are going to have that starting a week from tomorrow night. Let me remind all the school families, there are no live FBA classes tomorrow. And if you're up to date on your classes, you got a school holiday. But if you are not up to date, I hope that you will get updated, okay, tomorrow. Now, what are the instructions for? We have something for the children. So if you have kids sixth grade and under, we'll let everybody be dismissed who doesn't have children first, okay? They can make their way out. You can fellowship if you want to. We'll get it done. And we got something for the kids. Just bring it, driving by over here. And if you still have an offering envelope left, somebody will be here to take it. I think Brother Matt said somebody's on the other side to take it as well. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. I appreciate that so very much. Am I missing anything? Am I overlooking anything? I want to say a big thank you to so many people this morning. It may not look like it, but there was an unbelievable amount of work that had to be accomplished to try to get this to happen. And who knows what we're going to do going forward. We might do more of this. So I want to thank Mick and Alan and Mike and Luke for their help. And Luke with the music, Naomi with the music, Maud in the office. There's so many things. I'm leaving people out. Tom and Scott up in the PA booth. These men that came in this morning at 9 o'clock to have a brief meeting and help us figure things out. To the SRT guys, Matt and Josh, just so many people are pitching in. And I really thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I hope I can wave at you when you leave in just a minute. I love you with all of my heart. Had a hard time controlling my emotions. Seeing you come in. I've missed you like crazy. So thank you for coming.